house of the Lord. I want to say God bless you, Brother Josh, and the Goff family, and Brother Brandon, the Hagar family. God bless you guys. I feel pretty small up here. You back there, brother. I tell you, just kind of a privilege to be among you people. Sister Hannah, how are you? God bless you. Good to see you. So good to be here, and let our musician be seated if he'd like to. And, you know, we're just country folk. We just love the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And as we want you to just make yourself at home and just let's just have a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
It's so good to see them boys just growing up so fast. It ain't right, Brother Josh. You know, I knew them before I was a grandpa. I mean, wait, nobody say that. You know, I'm probably about as happy as you'll ever see. Is that little baby, he just lights me up. I told my son, I said, if I ever go through anything, I'll just turn my phone over and see his face. It's all over. Just a beautiful, beautiful little baby. And I love my children. Absolutely do. And I believe that our Father does the same thing about us. He loves us so much.
Right.
I want to speak to you tonight on engaged believers. Engaged believers. Let's go to Psalms chapter 25, verses 4 through 5. And we'll just read this in the name of the Lord. I say it's so good again just to be in the house of the Lord. Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I just ask you to help me to just get myself completely out of the way. Lord, I just want to be a yielded vessel for you, Father. And no desire to be anything else. The Lord, speak exactly what you want me to say and the demeanor that you want me to say it in, Lord. I ask you to touch every heart that's here tonight, Lord. May it be that after we leave the service, we can all testify that we've all just, it's been so good to be in the presence of the Lord and each one of us feel edified.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I don't even know why I wear these things. I take it off soon as I get up here. I just do it for the respect for the Lord, you know. But, you know, God created man to depend upon him, and God keeps his patterns. And all through Scripture, you can see God's pattern is the same. And he has a pattern of a deep call to the deep. How many knows that?
Right.
You know, there's a longing in the heart of a bull elk. You know, I just love Colorado. It just it's where I would love to live if I could. And just I'd be just as happy as could be if I just had my kids, and especially my grandbaby right there. It'd be so good, you know. It'd be a long drive to church every Sunday. But, you know, I love Colorado. It's so pretty. But, you know, there's a longing in the heart of a bull elk for his mate, and it causes him to cry out. And he has a hunger for that mate, and that hunger that's inside of him for that mate, it produces a cry on the inside of that elk. And that cry that he does will call that beautiful call that they do. How many knows the call I'm talking about?
Right.
It's so wonderful to hear that elk, his call. But what it is, there's something that builds up inside of him, and it engages something. And it causes him to do that call on the outside of him. And across the valley, across the mountain over there, there'll be a cow over there that's got the same hunger on the inside of her. And it'll hear that call, and there's something to respond to it. And you'll hear one call go this way and a call go that way. And what is it? It's God's nature. God puts something inside of him. And, you know, there's an ability to make the cry. It's already inside of that elk.
Right.
You know, it's already there. But there was something that needed to engage to cause that call to go out. And it's something that God did. See, God's the one that created him that way. And God's the one that gave him the ability to cry out to her. And it's God to also put the thing inside the cow to respond to that call. Ain't that beautiful? So for that elk to have something inside of him desiring a mate, something inside of him having a loneliness on the inside of him, there's got to be something to fill that void. And see, that bull elk, he was hungering, he was thirsting for something, he was thirsting for his mate. And it come to a point where he'd never made that sound before, but there come a day where all of a sudden something that just overtook him, and it caused him to cry out from the inside of him. And that cry that was on the inside of him reached the void, it reached the thing that he needed. And that sounds like a Christian to me. You know, we have a hunger and a thirst for something for God. You got a hunger in it. And you'll feel that hunger and that hunger and that hunger. And all of a sudden, at one moment, at one precise time, it'll overtake you. And you'll finally do that cry out to the Lord.
Right.
And God will hear your cry.
That's true.
Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
It's God that motivates. It's God that engages the cry. And it's God that puts in the hunger. Right. And it was a deep call to the deep. You know, the tools were already there. The mechanics were already there to make that connection. But it took a time. It took a precise moment. And that bull elk, perhaps he walked around lonely. Who knows how many days he walked lonely. Until finally he gave over to that thing that was trying to overtake him.
That's right. Amen.
Brother and sister, I'm going to tell you, so as a son or daughter of God, you can walk lonely a lot of times for a long time. But if you'll just give over to the thing that's working on you, and you just call out, and it'll fill that void on the inside of you.
Right. Amen.
God creates man the same way to long after him. God created man to hunger and thirst after him. And I'm so thankful for that. Let's go to St. Matthew 5 and verse 6, just one scripture. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. If God makes you thirsty, he's going to fill you.
Right.
Amen. If you look up that word righteousness, and I don't know if I can pronounce this, but I'll do my best. It's dikaiosui. That did not sound right. That's probably the way it goes. D-I-K-A-H-Y-O-S-O-O-N-A-Y. We'll let you educate it once. Decipher that. But that's what that word righteousness means. But if you look at the definition, it means it's an equity of character or to act specifically as a Christian.
Yeah.
God will put a hunger and a thirst inside of you to want to manifest the character of Christ.
That's right.
If God puts that hunger or thirst inside you to want to live that life, it's because God wants to give you that life.
Amen.
God will make you thirsty. God will put the deep, call the deep, and God will give you the call to respond to that. Amen?
Right.
So a person is blessed because he has a hunger and a thirst to live that Christian life. And God's the one that puts the hunger in the heart. And it's a deep call to the deep for life, for a real life. And God has a provided way for everything. And the provided way for a baby to get what he has need of is to cry for it. You know, we've heard it. You can give him a little bell and say, little junior, you just wave this bell and we'll come in and give you. It won't work. But God put a natural provided way inside that baby. And you don't have to teach him how to cry. He'll do it.
Amen.
He'll do it. Amen.
That's true.
You don't have to teach a baby to cry. It'll cry automatically. That baby has something on the inside of him, and he has a need of it. And God knows how to get that baby what he has need of. He's just going to cry for it. And you know what? He won't just cry one time. That baby will cry, cry, cry. You little ones know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I see his face back there. Brother Daniel, I know what you're talking about. When you see that little baby do that cry, that is a God-provided way for that baby to get what he has need of. And it's a miraculous thing to see how a baby and a husband and wife can have this baby through the womb. And that baby, you know, that you don't have to take the mother to the side and teach her, hey, we need your milk to drop, so this is what you need to do to make that happen. You don't have to teach that woman how to do that. Just put her in the presence of the cry, and the milk will come. I'm here to tell you something. We will put ourselves in the presence of God's cry, brother and sister. The life will come automatically.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That baby just got to get inside that cry and get there and just cry for it. I'm here to tell you, as you as a son or daughter of God, if you need the blessings of God, all you got to do is cry for it. Say, God, I want my blessing. God, I need that. I have the need. God, I'm going through this. God, I need your help, God. Cry for it. Because you know what? That woman will become pain to deliver from the milk that comes inside of her. She'll become pain to deliver. And I believe that's the way it is with God. God will have a pain on the inside of him to give you what you have need of.
Amen.
When you will cry out to him and say, God, I need it. I need it. Get my children. Save my children, God. I got this need for the finances. God, help me. I need healing, God. Help me.
Amen.
My brother needs me. My uncle needs me. My dad needs me. Help me, Lord. And you will cause pain upon God. I've got to get this thing off my chest.
Come on.
Amen. How will you? We cry out to God. Amen.
Glory to God.
When you cry out to him, brother and sister, he will give you what you have need of.
Amen.
Thing is, we don't cry enough. Amen.
Amen. That's true. Preach now.
The tools are already there in the mother to do it. All she's got to do is engage. Abraham looked nothing like a believer when God called him.
True.
Ain't that something? Amen. I want you to think about that. You don't look nothing like a believer when God don't call you. Give somebody some grace.
Come on. Amen.
You know what? I don't understand that. Judging somebody the way they dress, the way they do that, they're not a believer. yet. Give him a chance.
Right.
Amen? Amen? But you know what? Abraham was not a believer. But he was not him looking for God. God went looking for Abraham. Amen. We're just going to read a scripture in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Abram was not looking for God, brother and sister. It was God that went looking for Abraham.
Yes, sir.
This was God calling him, and God was able to look at this little piece of boulder of Abraham.
That's right.
And God saw something that nobody else did.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for that?
That's right.
You know what? When God saw Abraham, he didn't see the guy that was walking upright and just clean and, you know, just the best Christian. He was serving false idols.
That's true.
He was living a dirty, dirty life, but God said, "That's a father of faith.
That's right.
That's my child." God saw something in him that nobody else saw, because we don't see the whole picture. And I'm going to say something tonight. It's so important that we have a vision.
Amen.
Proverbs 29, verses 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Why is it so important to have a vision? I want you to just bear with me as we try to bring a story or a picture down for you. Years ago, there was men that were living in the city and trying to live the life of the city. But all of a sudden, all this, out of nowhere, this man begins to have a vision of Oregon. And this man has a vision of saying, "You know what, if we go there, there's green pastures, there's running waters, my family can go out there and not be in all this nonsense, that if I can just get them to Oregon, they don't have to deal with all this." But the man had a vision. Mm-hmm. And you know, and for him to have this vision of Oregon, it's so important to have a vision, but it's very important to behold that vision. Because you know what, you can start on that journey, Brother Josh, if you forget about the vision, you will get discouraged. You'll begin to quit. The discouragements will come. Sickness will come. Death will come. And there'll be reasons to quit. There'll be reasons to compromise. But on that way to Oregon, he must behold that vision. Because if he doesn't behold the vision, he will get discouraged. He will want to quit. He will want to settle. I'm going to tell you, that's what happens in Christians' lives too many times, is you're not beholding the vision. You're not looking at the end product. You're not looking at the goal. You know, they talked about the little boy that was riding the bicycle. All the other little boys had the fancier box going through the race, and the last of the line was running over along this long board. And one by one, the other bikers fell off. But little Johnny, with his old little bitty box, simple, just went right across the top and got to the finish line.
Uh-huh.
How did you do it? He said, "I kept my eyes on the finish line."
Amen.
And you know what? That's what we got to do. We got to keep our eyes on the vision, on the focus. Focus on the mission of what we're doing.
That's right. Amen.
You got to have a vision. The father, he if he can get his family to behold his vision, and if they would be willing to embrace the vision of what he's seeing, then when the struggles come, the family can fight together,
right,
beholding the same vision. But listen to me, if you're the only one that's got the vision, ain't nobody else got it, you've got a long road ahead of you.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. True. Could you imagine trying to get somewhere and your family ain't with you? Buddy, I'm telling you what, but if you get your family with you and you're following the same vision, you're going towards the same goal, the whole family works together as one unit. And then when struggles come, the family works together. And you'll see why I'm saying all this later on, Lord willing. They must behold the vision. In Psalms 27, verses 3 through 6, we know this from the rapture text portion of it. It says, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Mm-hmm. There, what are we doing when we come to service and receive? We're beholding the beauty of the Lord. What are we doing? We are focusing on the vision.
That's right.
You know, whenever in Joshua, he told him, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Stay focused. What's God saying? Behold the vision.
That's
Because listen to me, why would God tell you, fear not, fear not, fear not? Why, if I was to tell you now, Brother Brandon, restroom's back there, but fear not.
That's right.
Or I'm going to say, hey, the fellowship hall's downstairs, but fear not.
That's right.
Why would I say that?
Right.
Because there's nothing to fear? No, I would say that because there's something to fear. And you know, that's why God would say, fear not, because there's going to be reason to fear. And that's why it's so important that we behold the vision that God put in this hour, because there will be reason to fear. But we don't have to fear. Why? Because we've got a vision.
Right.
No matter what the devil puts forward us, we look at the fear or we can look at the vision. Which one do you want to look at?
Right.
Let's look at the vision, amen?
Amen.
Because if you're going to take a test, Hannah, and you're going to pass that test, don't look at the test, look at the vision. And then no matter what test comes, you're going to overcome it. Why? Because you're beholding the vision.
Amen.
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 Service after service after service after service. What are we doing? Beholding the vision.
Right.
Amen.
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 Yes, that makes me excited.
Amen.
We've got a vision. We are not stumbling through this and hoping that we're going to make it. God has showed us the end time. God, to the point of showing us beyond the curtain of time.
Right.
Of showing us this is the vision. Focus! There's going to be reason to quit! There's going to be reason to fear! But don't fear! Focus!
Right.
On the vision. Amen.
Amen. That's true.
It's just like the bull elk calling out for his cow. It's a hunger for life. Amen.
Amen.
God's putting the desire in our heart to come into to hear the vision, to inquire in his temple. It's God that's putting the hunger, and the reason God's putting that hunger in you, he wants to give you to drink. Amen.
That's right.
When God will put a cry in a man's heart to call out to God, God will answer your call. Young people, I really want to settle this. I really want to nail this down because I never know if I'm ever going to see again. I want you to remember these words. I'm telling you. Whenever you will call out to God, you can be in your bedroom. You can be in a treehouse. You can be sitting on a porch somewhere. When you call out to God and say, God, I really want to serve you with all my heart.
Right.
I really want to give you my all. I'm here to tell you something. God hears your call, and God will honor your request.
Amen.
He will come.
Amen.
But whenever he comes, don't expect lightning. Don't expect oil. If God wants to do that, hey, let him do it. But you know what? Don't expect nothing like that. You just expect him to come.
That's right.
And say, Lord, I believe you. I accept you. And you watch how God, day after day after day, will cause you to grow in his wisdom of his word.
That's
You'll
true.
Begin to see a life inside you that you weren't what you used to be.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
As I said, God does not change his pattern. It stays the same.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So Brother Tony on the phone the other night, we're talking. I said, people used to tell me, Brother Daniel, someone called me just Daniel, someone called me Brother Daniel, give me the courtesy. They say, you're just pumped up with enthusiasm. That'll fade away. I told Brother Tony, so I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 18 years old. I'm 42 now, amen. 41. Fix me 42. And it still ain't fazed me. You know what? Because I'm still, if that's enthusiasm, leave me alone because I'm happy.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abraham heard this call from God, and he started his journey for the Lord, and he looked nothing like a man of faith. He worshipped false idols, and he had no child, and he never had the whole vision at the beginning. All he had was what God showed him, and he had to walk in what God gave him, and as he walked in it, brother and sister, God gave him more of the vision.
Yes, sir.
And that's why it's so important that we walk in the light that we've been given.
Amen.
The light. What do you mean, my brother? Not just in the message of the hour. I'm talking about on a daily walk. You walk in the light that's been revelated to you, that you understand. You walk in that. You boys ever walk around with a lantern? You got a light. You can't see way beyond there, but if you'll take that lantern and keep walking, the more you walk, you can see further.
That's
and
right.
Listen to me, it's just as simple as that. The pattern of this gospel, if you will walk in what God is showing you, God will show you more.
Amen.
He will show you more. Because there will be times, like, man, I can't see this whole vision you're talking about, Brother Daniel. I don't understand the whole mess. I don't understand all this. I just don't. Just walk in what you know.
That's right.
You walk in what you know, and it's up to God to show you the rest of it. Because you know what? You can't see it unless God shows it to you anyway.
Amen.
You just got to walk in what he's given you and be thankful.
Amen.
And rejoice and be thankful in what he's given you.
Right.
It's God's vision.
Yes, sir.
And nobody would have picked Abraham. If you were to look across here and say, we're going to pick somebody to be the father of faith. Oh, that's a good one right there. No, you would have looked in and said, there's so many other people that could have been a better qualified in our thinking than Abram.
Right.
But God chose him.
That's right.
Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 13. And it come to pass when they come that he looked on Eliab. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not what man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
That's right.
Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by. He said, neither had the Lord chosen him. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord come upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Of all these brethren he saw, why would he choose David? A little nobody, somebody that doesn't look any spectacular at all. It's because God's vision.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
These brothers looked more kingly.
Right.
His brothers, if you look at it, if I was going to pick a king, this is, think of it, his own dad didn't think he could make it.
That's right.
That's pretty bad.
Amen.
You know what? Because a lot of times we're more preferential towards your children, you know, which I guess they're all his children, but his dad didn't make it. He's like, yeah, that woman, you don't want him. This is his dad. I just read in the scripture. He's a little ruddy guy. Could you imagine your dad calling you a ruddy guy? The Bible's funny sometimes. You read about it.
Right.
Brother Grimm talked about Samson. He said, little sissy fight guy with little hair hanging down. I thought to myself, what will that be like when we get on the other side?
Right.
See, face to face across the table. Like, he called me a sissy.
Amen. Think about it.
But these men, all of them looked like they had the qualities of being a king. Even his own father had doubts in him, but
right.
it wasn't what man was seeing. God was looking at the heart. Don't you remember what Brother
Amen.
Daniel said all through this service?
Amen.
God does not change his pattern.
That's right.
Listen to me, it's from your heart. We serve God from our heart.
Amen.
If you're doing it by just a bunch of rules, a bunch of head knowledge, you are playing church, you're playing house.
Amen.
I am not interested in that. Listen to me, it's about the love in your heart. And your love in your heart, my love for my wife. You know, if I give her flowers, but I do it because I'm supposed to, that don't mean very much. But you know, when I give it to her because it's from the abundance of my heart, it means a little more. Amen.
Right.
And same thing whenever you're serving one another. But that's exactly the way it is with our sisters, the way you dress, the way you wear your hairs, brothers, the way we live our life, the way we conduct ourselves. It's because we do it from our heart.
Yeah, right.
David was a man after God's own heart. And I've heard it many times. It's because he was fast to repent. He was so quick to repent.
Amen.
You know what? That is your goal. Listen, young people, be quick to repent.
Right.
When you do something wrong, the quicker you can make that right, the better it's going to be. It's like getting a splinter in your fingernail. You can say, I'll take care of it later. The longer you wait, the harder it is to take care of. Because
right.
That splinter is digging and digging and digging, and it'll make you so sore to where everything you touch will hurt you. And before long, you'll think that everyone else is hurting you, but really it's all your own self because you're allowing that splinter to stick right beside your hand.
Amen.
You know, cancer is caused by a bruise.
That's right.
Many times because a bruise takes place, it's because something happens. And that's exactly what the devil will do. He will address a pain in your life where somebody will hurt you. Satan will work on that. And it's something, a lot of times it's something that didn't mean to happen. The devil comes that way, brother and sister. So be quick to repent. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm preaching this, not saying be like me, but that's my goal. That's what I'm. That's what I'm pressing for.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It was God's vision, and God confirmed that this was the right one because God put His Spirit upon David, as the Scripture said. I'll read one more scripture. We're going to try to bring this around to what I think the Lord's trying to bring to us. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, this one scripture says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." When the Spirit of the Lord, departed from Saul, and then the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and then an evil spirit took that place of where it was, right? That evil spirit would trouble him, and it would try to ruin his day by day. As I was telling Brother Tony in the office, I heard the prophet talk the other day. You know, you ever have days where something seems like it's absolutely trying to ruin your day?
Amen.
People talking to you wrong, people do stuff wrong, stubbed your toe wrong, all this stuff. Brother Brown said it's evil spirits.
Right.
Saul had this problem. These spirits were haunting him. And the people had heard about a ministry of this man named David, where his ministry could cast out spirits.
Right.
David had a ministry of casting out spirits, is what they had heard. And they said, "You need to get David to come here." And David would come there with his stringed instrument and play the stringed instruments, and the evil spirits would leave Saul.
That's right.
Of course, you know when David left, the spirit left after a while, and guess what happened? That old evil spirit come right back.
That's right. Amen.
Spirits. So God would use David. David was not going there with the intent. I don't believe it with all my heart. David was not going with the intent, "I'm going to go cast out devils." Right. He wasn't that at all. Right. David had a love for the Lord. And his love for the Lord compelled him to play music to the Lord. Right. His love for the Lord, and while doing that for the Lord from his heart, playing to the Lord, meditating on the Lord, and playing that music, the Spirit of the Lord would come down upon that music and it would cause spirits to leave.
Right.
David was not trying to pump up a ministry. Right. David loved the Lord.
Right.
So David, as he played the string instrument, he did it from his heart. Listen to me, whenever David was taking care of those sheep, David loved those sheep.
Amen.
He absolutely loved them. To the point, Brother Grimm's talking about, a shepherd would stink like the sheep. You know, he loved them so much that he wasn't trying to pump up a ministry and saying, "You know what, I'm going to be a devil slayer. I'm going to be a giant slayer. I'm going to do these things." David didn't do that. David just loved the sheep. David loved the Lord. And because David loved the Lord, David loved the sheep, when the lion came, he reacted automatically.
Right.
It wasn't he was trying to pump something up. It came from the abundance of his heart.
Right.
David was a believer. See, David was a believer, and because he loved the Lord, David loved the sheep, and because he did that, and then when the trial came, there was something that come out of David, something that engaged, and it caused him to kill a lion, it caused him to kill a bear.
Right.
It was from the abundance of his heart. He was not trying to pump something up. It come automatically.
Amen.
And his father put him on the backside of the desert, and we know the story of how the war was going on. And of course, they want to put the warriors out front.
That's right.
Little David, he go back there. Let the warriors take care of this battle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Your ministry is not good enough, David. You go back there.
Come on.
You let the real ministry take care of this.
Come on now.
And that's what they've been doing for 40 years.
Yes, sir.
And look what they've done with it.
Amen.
And here he was, these men out there standing day after day for 40 days. Brother Brown talked about the time of how the Goliath would come out there. Temptation.
Right.
Goliath come out there over and over and over and said, "You know what? You bring one of your guys out here. Let one of your guys, as strong as, come out here and fight this." And these warriors, these men that were great warriors, allowed it to go on over and over and over and over. I'm telling you what I'm telling you right here. I'm telling you, I know without a doubt the Lord gave you this while sitting on my couch today.
Come on.
Over and over and over. That ministry standing there right in front of Goliath, and the Goliath tormenting the people by fear over and over and over. But here come David walking up. The prophet said, "Here come a man that he knew where he was standing."
Yeah.
Here come a man that who knew who he was. Here was a man that knew his position. And he, though he was saying that thing, and it did nothing to them, it did not engage anything.
That's right.
But David, it engaged something. Why? Because of his heart. David was meditating on the Lord. David loved his sheep. What are God's people? Sheep.
Right.
Amen. David had a love for them. And David was walking there with these cakes, and he felt fear. I believe. Saul said, let me show you my armor.
Amen.
Give you my sword, my armor.
Sure.
You go fight that. David said, I've never fought with this stuff. But I can tell you what I have fought with. By the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
God does not change his pattern.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. The Lord has given me some bears. God has given me some lions. And God has given me some Goliaths.
Uh-huh.
And he's killed them, every one of them, the same way. The same pattern. Not with a bunch of quotes.
That's right.
Amen. Quotes, you got words. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Elijah was a little baby sitting in the hospital. Over and over and over. Poor little face just all messed up and everything with the eczema. Entire body completely covered in it. Absolutely miserable. Asthma attacks over and over. We were sitting in the hospital in Poto, and my wife would flip the Bible over in Revelations, and I could quote you the book of Revelations. I could sit there, I'm not trying to pump myself up by saying, but listen to what I'm saying. I could quote you scriptures. I could go right down that quote, and I would just fluff in my feathers, wow, I could quote the book of Revelation. And you know, it just hit me like a light switch on. It says, but you ain't got the faith for your baby to be healed. Sitting right here. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you something, brother. It just absolutely just humbled me.
Sure.
So I said, you know what? What does it matter how much I can quote?
Right.
What good does it do how much we can do this stuff if we ain't got the same power that prophet demonstrated when he was on the earth? And I want to say, it was not the prophet. It was God that worked through that prophet. Let me say, there was times whenever Brother Brenham said something wrong, too, and it just had, I'm going to tell the tax man that I can't do it. You know the story? Well, whenever he tried to go pray, it didn't work.
Right.
Because it's not the man. The man can fail.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. So can we.
You
can have the words and not have the power, the authority working and flowing through you. And you know what? I'm so sick of seeing people going through their life with no authority, walking through and let the devil trample all over you. We don't have to do that.
Amen.
That's right. We just got to get in the right presence of making your heart ready. Focus on God. I love the Lord with all my heart. And whenever you focus in with that, brother and sister, and then when the battles come, you're not thinking, I'm going to slay a devil. It comes automatically.
Amen.
The works come automatically. Tell you just real quickly, I did not at all plan on going this route, but I'm going to show you something. Right after that, shortly after that, I got laid off my job. We're living in Poto, and his poor face was all broken out. And I remember I was wearing a white shirt, and he had pneumonia. I was wearing a white shirt that night. I wish to God I'd have kept that shirt. I remember before I left that night, he was crying and upset, poor little baby, just crying and just red. And I remember I picked him up and held him against my chest. My wife had a white shirt on, and I got blood specks on top of my shirt right there. And I told my wife, she said, where are you going? I said, I got to go to church. She said, how? You ain't got no gas. I had less than an eighth of a tank of gas in the vehicle. I said, I got to go. I got to get up and go to church. She said, okay. And I get inside that car, and I'm traveling. I'm laid off my job. My boy's got eczema all over his face so bad. My wife is sick. He is sick. And I'm here to tell you something. I felt like a defeated person. I could quote you the book of Revelations, and I couldn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm traveling to work, and I said, you know what? I got all the quotes. I've got all this, and my family is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I was defeated. I felt so defeated in myself. And I remember I went to church, and I said, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get to church. I'll drive as far as I can, and I'll walk the rest. We were going to church in Pecola, Oklahoma. I go one into church, and I sit in the back of the church, and I can't even listen to what's being preached. No matter how I tried. I listened.
Right.
I would just
right.
try to focus, and I just couldn't get nothing from the service at all.
Right.
Because pressure on my mind. And here I was sitting in the back, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what am I doing? You know, there's people out here that don't even try to serve you, and like their needs are met. And I am trying my best to serve you with all my heart. It's like I can't even put one foot in front of the other. And I felt so defeated in the back all through service, just fighting. In that service, Brother Brady was ministering, and he said, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and pray. And I walk from the back, I'm thinking of all people in the world to have him come pray. I'm thinking
right.
the most defeated guy in the entire building. Remember, I walked up there to the back, up to the pulpit, and I felt so defeated. I was laid off my job. My boy's face was broke out. We had all these times. My wife was sick. My boy was sick. Nothing in the world was going right. And you know what? I was not walking up there saying, you know what, I'm going to do something. I walked up there and said, you know, I can't do it. I'm defeated. But I stood behind the pulpit. Brother and sister, and I just started praying. I said, Lord, I can't do this my own. I can't do it. And all of a sudden, his presence began to come down. I said, Lord, I ask you that you'll heal my boy. God, I ask you that you'll help me with my job. God, I ask you to help me with it. And I began to just let go and just pour my heart out to God, brother and sister. I said, Lord, I give it all to you. I ask you to meet every need, Lord. Please, God, heal my son. Do all these things. And I get inside my, I didn't feel dynamite. I didn't feel oil. I got inside my vehicle and I said, you know what, God, I'm going to praise you. I don't care what happens, I'm going to praise you. I get inside that vehicle and I start traveling home. I shouldn't have had enough gas to get to church, and here I am driving home with it. Same tank of gas, get all the way home. And I make it all the way to the house, and my wife meets me at the front door with Elijah.
Hallelujah.
And he's holding him in his arms, her arms. And he had a brand new face, and all the way down his arms.
Hallelujah.
And from that day forth, that boy's been healed.
Thank you, Lord.
He's the same yesterday, today, and
Amen.
Forever.
My
daughter was born with her feet turned inward, and the doctor said she won't ever be able to walk like this. She'll have to have surgery. He said, no, we don't believe that. We believe God will heal her. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe God will heal her. And over a year goes by, and the poor girl still can't walk. We was at a funeral, and after the service, we're sitting there talking, and I'm sitting on the couch, and my daughter come crawling across the floor, and one of the brothers, my beloved David Kozel, he said, I sure wish that girl could walk. I said, brother, she may not look healed and she may not feel healed. As I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, she is healed. I said, oh, sure, brother, sure. We believe that too, you know. Not trying to be degrading. They just, yeah, sure, sure. I worked at Planters Peanut at the time, and the very next day, I was sitting on a couch getting ready to tie my shoes, and my daughter came crawling across the floor, and her feet turned straight forward, straight up, and stood straight up, and started walking. And from that day forth, her feet are perfectly feet.
Hallelujah.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, he is.
Listen to me, God will do the same things. It will engage your faith. But so what does it take?
Pressure.
You get under pressure to where, you know what? It comes automatically. Let me smack your finger with a hammer. Do I have to talk to you and say, no, Josh, come on, brother. You don't have to. Come on, brother Josh. I want you to put your hand on right here. Now, when I hit it with this hammer, I want you to scream. Do I have to teach him how to do that?
No.
All you got to do is go through the motions, brother. It comes automatically.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. It's the same way with the presence of the Lord. When his presence will come down in your midst, brother and sister, there's actions that will happen automatically.
Amen.
No pump up, not working it to happen. It just happens.
Amen.
It's a love that can come inside your heart. Because you know what? You can do it from the physical. You can do it from the physical of doing a workup. And you can do manifestations, but the difference, and you can do it by doing it humble. The difference is when you're doing it by the manifestations of doing the workup, you smack your hand, that old temper will come out. That old wolf nature will come out of you.
That's right.
But you know, when you're doing it through the humility as David did it, when the pressures would come at David, what was David? He was quick to repent. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Saul is angry whenever the people were shouting more over David than over himself. If Saul's heart was right, he would have said, praise God, God's people are being delivered. But what did Saul do? He got mad because they were shouting more for David than for himself.
Amen.
You know what? There's too much of that that goes on. Because you know what? The ministry, there's one ministry. There's one goal. There's one vision. We're all focusing for that thing. It would not hurt me, my feelings, one single bit if somebody, another minister, was going to my beloved Brother Miller and pray for him, and that brother raised out of his chair and start walking. You know what I'd say? Praise God. You know why? Because he's a son of God. It would bother me one bit if somebody at the Baptist church was to raise up out of a wheelchair and start walking. You know what I'd say? Praise God. You know why? Because it's one goal. It's one focus. It's one mission. But you know what? There's too much of trying to divide. It's in the message. And don't try to make what it is. Just be a believer. Just love the Lord. Amen? That's a word that I hate to say it. It's almost where I almost hate to hear the word of a message believer. You know, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Because you know what Brother Branham talked about in his day? Are you a Christian? I'm a Baptist.
Right. Uh-huh.
Are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. I didn't ask if he was a Baptist. I didn't ask him. I are a Christian.
That's right.
And you know what? The people today have done that same thing. I'm a message believer. I didn't ask you what church you went to.
Right.
I asked you if you were a Christian.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You know, they got these little book clubs. And they'll read, everybody will read the book. And sometimes it's a thick book, sometimes a thin book. And they'll read this book. Everybody will sit there and give their take on the book and say, well, I think it meant this. And just so elegantly, you know.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I think it meant this. When it brought it out, it brought like this. I love it. And somebody else, my take on the book was like this. And somebody else says, well, my take on the book was like this. But then you got somebody else over here who says, actually, my take on the book was like this.
Right.
And all these others are turning to him and saying, and who do you think you are? I'm the author.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
They all got their opinions. But the very one that wrote the book was sitting way on the other side. And while they're being philosophical, they're completely missing the author of the book.
Yeah.
And listen to what I'm saying. That's what's happening too much. There's too many people who can tell you all about the message, but they have not met Christ.
Right.
Completely missing it. Because you know what? The message was given to unveil the presence of
That's
Christ.
Amen.
If we are missing that, it don't matter how much you can quote, you have missed the boat, brother and sister. Because you know
right.
what? That's what's going to get you in the rapture, is to know Christ.
Amen.
Because people will prophesy, people will do many works, people do all kinds of things, but he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Amen.
Right.
It's knowing Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And to know Christ, I had this quote the Lord gave me earlier, and I was not seeing how it fits all day, but now I know. Brother Tony, that's why I'm trying so hard to learn to stop thinking I know what's going on and just let him do it.
Amen.
I want you to listen to what Brother Brennan says. Right here closing. I'm talking to you earlier about God keeps his pattern. This is what Brother Brennan says about this. He says, now the Holy Spirit will never say amen to some kind of man-made creed. It'll only punctuate the word of God with amen, because it's so. The Holy Spirit will not lead you any other way. Now, the strange thing is that we all of our great denominations and things, we claim each one led by the Holy Spirit, and there's as much difference as there is day and night in all of us. But when Paul, that little Pharisee that received the Holy Spirit, when Ananias baptized him and went into Arabia and studied for 3 years, come back, never consulted the church about anything for 14 years, and when he came and met Peter, the head of the church of Jerusalem, they were eye to eye in doctrine. Why? The same Holy Spirit. Where Peter baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul did the same without anybody telling him. Where Peter taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost and sanctification and so forth, Paul did the same thing without consulting the church, because it was the same guide. Then, how can we be today when people deny these truths? When Peter taught what he did about the way the church was to be put in order, Paul had the same doctrine because he had the same guide. The guide isn't going to take you one over this way and one over that way and send one east and the other west. He's going to keep you together. And if we'll just let the Holy Ghost keep us together, we'll be one. If we just don't let the devil pull you off on the wrong road, we'll be one heart, one mind, one accord, by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the God of God, that will guide us to all truth. That's right, but you've got to follow the God.
Uh-huh.
Brother and sister, if it's the same Holy Ghost inside our heart, it will say amen to it automatically, because it's the same Holy Ghost.
That's right.
How in the world can around the message have so many schisms in the body and different doctrines coming off of it if it's the same Holy Ghost? Brother and sister, that's why I say it goes from your heart. Well, we've got to individually know Christ, to where whenever it comes across your path, there's something inside you that says, I believe that to be the truth.
Right.
Let's all stand. It's got to be the Holy Ghost.
Right.
This is my last quote, and then we'll... He's talking about Nicodemus, how Nicodemus would come to God. And how Nicodemus would come at nighttime, and people criticized Nicodemus. He said, why would he go to Nicodemus? Why would he go to John? He says, you know, people condemn Nicodemus for coming by night. He got there. He arrived. I know some people won't even start day or night, but he got there and he needed a guide. He said, Master, we know that you're a teacher from God. Why did he know it? He was vindicated, see? He wanted to know that it was his new birth meant. He went to the right one because God had vindicated that he was his guide, Jesus. Look at what he said. Master, we know that thou art a teacher. It comes from God, because no man can do these things that you do lest God be with him. It was a vindication there, and there was a living God inside of him. What he testified, not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he seeth the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. In other words, God showed him what to do, and he went and just acted it out. He didn't do anything until God told him to do it. Amen. That's the real frank facts of it. If we would just move and wait till the Spirit moved upon us to do it, that's it. Then be so completely lost in Christ that he don't have to shove you around like he does me, but the little nod of his head, you're ready. Nothing's going to stop you because you know that it's the will of God. Mm-hmm. See, so Jesus was so in tune with God that and we know that Jesus was the manifestation of God, but he can say, I can do nothing unless the Father show me. He was so sensitive to him that just a nod from him. He was beholding that vision so much that just a nod from him, he had confidence because he was beholding the vision. Mm-hmm. And brother and sister, that's the goal. That is the goal, is for us, is to focus on that vision, and that way we're ready to be engaged. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I know I've been long-winded tonight, and I apologize for it, Lord. Just trying to get this thought across. I just pray that, Lord, that through my broken language, Lord, your message can be forth to them, Lord. Father, I believe that you have done such a wonderful thing in this hour. We've got some of the best ministers ever out there, Lord. And Lord, in the midst of it, Lord, the devil is just trying to come like a rampage, Lord, of causing divisions, Lord. And Lord, I don't, if there's something in fire inside me that just lights up, Lord, to cry out to say that there is a real birth today. There's a real filling of the Holy Ghost today. There's a real manifestation today. Yeah. Oh God, would you flow through this building? Would you knock on hearts, Lord? Lord Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let Brother Tony come forward. David did not try to work up anything. Brother Joshua, when the trial come for Goliath, it came out of him automatically. Right. I believe without a doubt, it's because he was focusing on the vision. Amen. 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 His heart was right.
Work, there was several of us had to get together and do a committee, and do an audit. And we were walking around, and one of the people was a lady. And somebody asked her how she was doing today, I heard her say, I'm just going through the motions. So I turned to her and I said, but is your heart in it? And that's what a lot of people do, they just go through the motions of what they should be. Would you mute Brother Daniel's mic? Going through motions, when their heart's not in it. Now, how many knows God does have a deep that calls to the deep? Mm-hmm. He deals with your heart. Listen, this flesh is going to pass away. This world's going to pass away. All that you build up in the physical and in the natural is going to pass away. Mm-hmm. There's one thing that's going to stay with you, and that's the character that builds up in you by an experience of the Holy Ghost and how God deals with. God knows every one of you specifically. He knows exactly how to speak to you and what's going through your life, and he knows how to draw you. And so I know that God orchestrates things quite often to bring to pass what his desires are. And so we really appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say tonight.
Yeah.
He does not, God is not, you may say, well, I've made a mistake or I've done this, but God has never changed his thought about you.
Right.
You tonight you have that same opportunity tonight that you've always had with him and always will have with him.
Amen.
God has not changed his mind about you. He just is waiting for you to come to what his thought is about you. Amen. He said, I know, Jeremiah 29:11, I know my thoughts concerning you, right?
That's right.
To bring you to an accepted end, right? An expected end.
Right.
He already knows what your end is, but he wants to bring you to that, right?
Right.
He wants you to have an expectation of what he's going to do in your life. And so that's what the Word of God does for you. So just be a Christian. Right? Just be a Christian. Don't try and be anything and just love the Lord. Just love the Lord. Walk with the Lord.
Yes.
And he will do through you and around you everything. Just walk with him. When he pulls your heart, follow him. When he speaks to you, go with it.
Right.
See, because you can't manifest this yourself. You cannot do it yourself. You just have to let him lead you. Let him guide you. That's a lifelong journey. Amen. A lifelong journey. Amen. We're going to sing a song and then I want to open up for prayer. Anybody come up for prayer? I think this would be a good time.
Amen.
I'm terrible at picking out songs on the fly. He was there.
Thank you. ask you to unveil yourself up here right now, Lord, that you touch my sister, Father, that she can touch the hem of your garment, Lord. Lord, bring perfect healing in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that there be a good report from the doctor, Father. Lord, we know that you're the physician, Father. Lord, you are God's restoration. Lord, you created the body, Lord. You created the heart, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask you that you would cause it to work the way you created to do it, Lord. I'm testifying you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bring perfect healing in Jesus' name, Father.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
All I need.
save the whole world, just one sermon, if the world were here and could listen to it. And so, you know, when God gives stuff to us, He expects us to do something with it.
That's right.
And so, thank Brother Daniel ministering the other day, and I mentioned a few things. I thank the next service also that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
That's right.
If you want to start really feeling really good in the Lord, just start telling someone.
That's right.
About what God has done for you.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that only helps the other person, but it empowers you.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
So
that's right.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Just ask Brother Josh to come and close in prayer, and then we'll close in the song. Good to have Brother Josh and his family.
Amen.
Brother Brandon and his family with us tonight.
And it's been a real treat to be here, may I add, as well. We've enjoyed the service. We appreciate the atmosphere. We appreciate getting to worship with like-minded believers. And I can say I was blessed this evening. I believe the Lord had His way, and I was touched by it. And if I can make it just a little bit more personal, I got to hear my friend preach.
Amen.
And I just thought it was lovely. I thought it was very good.
Amen.
And we really enjoyed being in service with you tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your throne of grace this evening. And how grateful we are, and how blessed we are, how privileged we are, Lord. The list of attributes would go on of what we could say of how wonderful all the things that you've done, Lord. There's no words in the English language to say how marvelous and how great you are. Lord, we are so grateful that you just came down and you blessed us with your presence this evening, Lord, and spoke to the hearts of the people that were here. We ask that you just touch our brother Daniel, Lord, that you just refresh in him in his spirit and body, and that you just re-energize him, oh God,
amen.
That he would just be able to go about tonight and tomorrow, and that you just continue to increase him, increase Brother Tony, the congregation here. We ask for your blessings on them. We ask that you would just be mindful and watch over all of us, the needs, those that came up for prayer tonight. And we just pray that you would just be in complete control over all of those things, Lord, because we know on our own we can do nothing. But what we can do is we can take you at your word, and we know that by your stripes we are healed, and that we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And
amen.
I would just pray that just even as your prophet Paul preached, Lord, there would be things that would afflict us, but may it be that we can just die daily, and that you just refill us with your Holy Spirit every single day, Lord,
yes.
Till you would come and perfect us in a body change. We look forward to that day. We look and anticipate great things in your coming. And even until you do come, as long as you would tarry, we anticipate great things in our fellowship around your word. Lord, we just look to the author of that word to make yourself manifest to us in a corporal body. But until then, Lord, we will gather and we will just linger and embrace the presence of the author of the word, Jesus Christ. Have your way, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
You know, the enemy doesn't want you to come to the Lord with something, but when you fight that battle and you come to the Lord,
yeah,
you won a victory.
Amen. Right.
And when you win a victory, you can go away wearing a crown of praise.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So we'll close with this song. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown.
Over, we shall wear.